We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Part of the Blue Wire Network. I am Ricky O'Donnell. As always, I'm here with Jason Pat. Jason, the Bulls season is over, despite the fact that Jason Pat went on this podcast after a win over the Hawks in the play-in tournament and guaranteed a Bulls
victory right.
over the Miami Heat without Jimmy Butler, without Terry Rozier. Despite all that, the Chicago Bulls did what they always do, and that is embarrass us and bring us shame. Bulls lose to the Heat 112-91, a 21-point defeat for your Chicago Bulls. Jace, this game was truly humiliating right from the jump. The Heat rip off a 19-0 run in the first quarter. The Bulls like kind of got back in it. Maybe they got the lead down to like 9 or something. And then the Heat just walloped them with another big run towards the end of the third. And from there, the game was totally over. So Bulls lose, Bull season is done. Jace, I truly have no interest in talking about this game.
No.
This game was mostly just a microcosm of everything that ails this team in so many ways. Their shooting was pathetic. They were out-coached, out-schemed. They did not play with enough force. Vooch was terrible. It was just a garbage game all the way around. From a garbage franchise that gave us a very mediocre team. So I'll say that, these Bulls, they were resilient throughout the year. And Jace, I'll admit, I put a couple bucks on the Bulls money line when they were down 20 early in the game. The Bulls had come back from so many 20 plus point deficits throughout the season, the most in the NBA. We know that if the game got close, these Bulls were phenomenal in the clutch, so poised, so skilled. But Jace, it was all bullshit. It was a lot of luck. They were the best clutch team relative to their expected performance of all time, ahead of the 73-win Warriors, and they won 39 games and failed to make the playoffs once again. A disaster of a year for Arturis Karnišovas, who should be fired tomorrow morning. Reinsdorf has any pride in this organization, Jason, the first thing he's doing tomorrow morning is firing Arturis Karnišovas because Arturis traded 3 first-round picks for a team that won 1 playoff game in 4 years. They still owe one of those picks next year, which continues to sort of inform some of their decisions. And this is a disaster for Arturis, who sucks at his job and who is a huge moron. Jace, I'm going to kick it over to you for immediate reaction on the end of the Bulls season because I'm sort of oscillating between, like, who cares? And also, like, this is a total joke. Chicago deserves better than this. Arturis, you're too dumb to deliver it. We need someone new.
So I'm absolutely not mad about the outcome other than, like, the $62 that I think I lost on it. I bet $50 on the Bulls money line, and then I doubled down. When they were down 10, I should have bet –
You lost all your over-under money, Jace.
I did. No, I didn't. Oh, yes. No, I won whatever, 150. What was that? Whatever that was. Either way, I bet 50 on the Bulls money line. I guaranteed it on our pod after the Hawks game. I guaranteed it on the Miami Heat beat pod with my guy, Giancarlo Navis, last night that the Bulls would win this game. And I said, I put my money where my mouth is. And then I doubled down when they were down early today. I live bet as well that the Bulls would win. So I lost like 60 some dollars on this game. But I don't care. Absolutely hilarious, outstanding outcome. Absolutely embarrassing performance by the Chicago Bulls tonight. From the very start, I mean, it was just a joke. And also, I would also like to take another shot at the Atlanta Hawks for being an even bigger joke. These two games proved why the play-in tournament needs to have that cutoff, the four-game cutoff, five-game, whatever you want to make it. Like, the Hawks embarrass themselves against the Bulls. The Bulls embarrass themselves against the Heat. Both teams, garbage, under 500, should not have been playing in these extra games. Jerry Reinsdorf got his extra revenue from that home game, and Kobe White did get an awesome performance against the Hawks. Unfortunately, Kobe White did follow the Zach LaVine whatever thing from last year where he played his thing. Like best game in the 9-10 play-in game, and then played one. I wouldn't say Kobe didn't have one of his worst games tonight, but he was bad tonight. He was awful, like almost everybody else on the team. So unfortunate. But yeah, I mean, just an embarrassment from the very start. They got nothing. Actually, no. The first like 2 minutes, the Bulls went up. They were up like 11-5 or 11-6. Like they hit three of their first four three-pointers. They were kind of moving the ball. And then the three stopped dropping. They kept settling for shots. The Heat just took it. What was the run again that the Heat went on? It was like 20-0
in the first quarter.
It went from the Bulls were up like 5 or 6 to down 17 at the end of the one quarter. It got to 20 early in the second quarter. I know we said we didn't really want to talk about this game. Briefly, we'll talk about what happened in this game. The Heat got to 20. In the second quarter. But I was like, you know what? The Heat offense is so garbage. They're going to let the Bulls back in it. And they did, but the Bulls failed to capitalize on it. The Heat scored, they went up 20 points like with 8.5 minutes left in the second quarter. They scored 5 points the rest of the first half and managed 47 points in the first half. But the Bulls only chopped off 10 points off that deficit, and they ended up with 37 points in the first half. Absolutely embarrassing. They had a ton of shots rim out. They missed a bunch of layups. Like, it was just an awful performance. Both teams, like, that first half was... I mean, the Heat scored 13 points in the second quarter, and the Bulls were still down 10. It looked like, oh, maybe they'd make a run here early in the third, but then the Heat answered back, and then they just fucking blew the doors off them at the end of that third quarter. We saw... I mean, Tyler Herro almost had a triple-double. Jaime Jaquez Jr., starting in place of Jimmy Butler, had a huge game. Bam Adebayo, great defensively. Didn't do that much offensively, but great defensively. Who else? Like, I don't even, whatever. Like Kevin Love off the bench, shot 10 of 10 from the free throw line, was just kind of punking the Bulls down low. And the game, the fourth quarter was not competitive. Arturis Karnauskas talked about, after the trade deadline, being a competitive team. And they were not competitive for basically almost this entire game. So, like, a complete embarrassment, a complete failure for this team. I went into this game, like, I wanted them to win this. Obviously, besides the money, like, this Heat team is garbage. They got no Jimmy Butler, no Terriers. You're like, beat this team, go whatever. You'll get your ass beat by the Celtics, but fuck the Celtics. Give them maybe a run for their money. Like, I wanted them to win this game. But they ended up suffering. You tweeted before the Hawks game about mass humiliation. And obviously they won that game. But tonight they ended up suffering maybe even more embarrassing than if they would have lost that Hawks game, the way they lost tonight by just being not even close to competitive against a Heat team without Jimmy Butler. You would hope this would spur some type of change. Again, yeah, I mean, the title of this podcast is going to be Fire Arturis Karnauskas. He absolutely should be fired. We said after the trade deadline, you said he should have been fired then. I said after the trade deadline, they didn't make any moves, that if they do not make it through the play-in tournament and make the playoffs, he should be fired. You could have argued even if they did do it, he should be fired. So he absolutely should be fired. Absolutely, like, no doubt about it. I have never seen a general manager. He's technically the executive vice president of basketball operations. Mark Eversley is the general manager. I've never seen a top basketball executive be so scared to make any type of move. He didn't pivot to the future. He didn't, like, if you believe in this team, you could have made some moves maybe to make the team better. I've never seen, whatever, they've gone 2.5 years. They haven't made a trade of a player since, I believe it's 2021. I think since the 2021 offseason, they have not traded a player. The one trade they've made in the last 3 years was the trade to get Julian Phillips in the draft last year. They haven't, again, what would you say you do here as a general manager, whatever, the lead executive decision maker, when you don't do literally anything? You don't do anything to your roster. You make like the bare minimum signings. And by the way, Torrey Craig, Javon Carter, absolutely fucking useless for most of the season and for tonight. So that didn't do anything. And like, I will say, like, I liked those moves as like, whatever, as ancillary moves. Like, those were I thought those were solid moves that did not work out.
I liked them too. We were wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. We were wrong. And AK wrong. Going into this last offseason, was like, oh, well, look what we do in free agency. Like, we're going to adjust the 3-point shooting. We're going to make this all better. And his moves were Torrey Craig and Javon Carter, two guys who were absolutely useless in this game. They were useless in the Hawks game too. Like, absolutely garbage. He didn't make the team better. He has failed at his job miserably the last 2.5 years since Lonzo Ball got hurt. Did the Lonzo Ball injury, was that very unlucky, just like, brutal stuff, absolutely. But that's even more reason that they should have done something in the last couple of years. You know, you built your team around like the Lonzo Ball thing, kind of bringing your core together. And they have not had him for 2.5 years, but he's stuck with it and hasn't done anything to either make them better or to pivot off something else. I mean, I've just never seen this type of inactivity from a lead executive ever, and that's why he should be fired tomorrow. Is he going to be fired tomorrow? Absolutely not. They got their one big home play-in win. I'm sure like they think everything is fine. Although maybe this like embarrassment will actually spur action. I don't know. I'm still pretty skeptical. We'll need to see it to believe it. But like tonight was just such an embarrassing performance up and down the organization. And it should spur change. They should pivot. Well, maybe we'll talk about the future in a little bit, but like awful. I mean, just a complete embarrassment tonight for the Chicago Bulls. There, everyone, I mean, across social media, we got Bill Simmons just destroying Jerry Reinsdorf in this organization. We got everybody else talking about how much the Bulls are ass and how much they suck and ripping your guy, Michael Pena. I saw him just like ripping them for not making any moves. Like, everyone knows that the Bulls are a joke. My one of the other NBA Twitter DMs I'm in, which is like literally as that game was ending, was just joke after joke about the Bulls and their front office and how they think they're fine because they're a play-in team. They got their home play-in game. They won their home play-in game. They were competitive for much of the season. Bullshit. Like, tonight, it should absolutely be a wake-up call for this front office. But as we talked about, like, I don't know if it actually will be. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. Where to even begin? I guess, you know, the season was over at the trade deadline. Like, any executive with half a brain could have seen this team was going nowhere. Let's sell off some of these veterans from this team. We will still make the play-in tournament, and we can recoup some future assets to maybe build this thing up in the future. Arturis looked at it and thought, well, no, because the 8 seed is our championship, and if we get the 8 seed, I'm going to do victory laps around Grant Park like it's a 7th banner. And we have a much better chance of getting the 8 seed, of winning these single elimination games by keeping Alex Caruso, by keeping Andre Drummond. And holy shit, dude, just that thought process from an executive is a fireable offense. This man is completely delusional. He has zero long-term vision. And I don't think he can even evaluate any of the players around the league or on his own team, because if he could, he would have made some moves by now. Instead, you know, he signed Goran Dragic. He signed Drummond, which was a good move.
Drummond was a good move, but hold on. Let's stop. Drummond today was full awful Drummond. I mean, some of the worst fucking plays. Like, he pickpocketed Tyler Hero, immediately threw the ball like to the backcourt and threw it away. He missed a dunk. I mean, he was awful tonight. I mean, just the epitome of Andre Drummond. Like, he has great games, and then like tonight, just complete shacked and a fool. I mean, like the last three games Andre Drummond has played, just complete buffoonery all across the court. And again, Drummond has generally been very good. Like Andre Drummond as a backup center, he's a solid player. But just like, he's also just a complete buffoon sometimes. And we saw it in literally the last three games he played. He had the alley-oop thing with Torrey Craig. He hurt Alex Caruso, the Caruso play tonight. And then tonight he had like multiple plays where it's like, what the fuck are you doing, man? Unbelievably brutal stuff. Back to you, Ricky.
Yeah. So Jason, I mean, it was all over at the trade deadline. You and I had our annual trade deadline meltdown podcast where we both have a meltdown live on the air, and we cry and we complain and we get pissed and we curse. But we are not geniuses, Jason. I'm not saying this to be like, oh, look, we knew this team. Everyone knew. Everyone knew this team sucked. The only person in the world who was delusional enough to think this team was good enough to make the playoffs, and that making the playoffs as the eighth seed in the East was some grand accomplishment, was Arturas. He's a moron. And for whatever reason, whenever I tweet this stuff, people are always like, well, Reinsdorf's the real problem, Arturas. Okay, of course Reinsdorf's the real problem. Duh. We all know that too. However, Reinsdorf is such a hands-off executive, especially with the Bulls.
He doesn't care at this point.
Pay the luxury tax, but you can do anything else you want, more or less. They asked AK about that. He said, you know, ownership supported him if you wanted to tear it down. I do not believe that Arturas was shackled by ownership these last few years into making no moves. I think Arturas is simply very stupid. And he's never done anything in terms of his decision-making that would tell you otherwise. He certainly never said anything in his interviews that would tell you otherwise, because his press conference availability is just a disaster every single time. And that is the last interesting piece of this Bulls season, because nobody pats themselves on the back like Arturas Karnišovas. This guy has got Stretch Armstrong arms, giving himself a round of applause and a pat on the back for just totally ass results. So how is he going to spin this season into a success, Jason, when he could have recouped some future assets at the trade deadline? Anyone else would have done this. Even a bad GM would have done this.
Yeah, this is not hindsight.
Level bad.
This is not hindsight at all. We've been talking about this for basically all year. Obviously, yeah, before the trade deadline, like, no hindsight here. Like, Caruso should have been traded. We love Alex Caruso here. He should have been traded, like, because this team's going nowhere. Andre Drummond, as we just talked about, good player can be a buffoon, but he should have been traded. Like, they could have traded both those guys and they still would have made the play-in tournament. Like, maybe they would have been on the road in Atlanta, but they probably wouldn't have been either. Like, the Hawks are a fucking joke. The Hawks won 36 games. I bet the Bulls still probably would have finished against the Hawks if they traded those two guys. They probably would have had almost the same exact outcome if they traded Alex Caruso and Andre Drummond to what just happened this season.
The exact same thing would have played out.
Yeah, except they would have had some future assets. And would have been maybe set up a little more like, if that the rumored Warriors trade that was on the table, if you would have gotten Moses Moody, maybe a pick or two. I know like Trayce Jackson-Davis was maybe part of that. Who knows what exactly was part of that? But if you could have gotten like two or three future assets for Alex Caruso, they would have finished in probably maybe not the same, but they probably would have finished a few games worse, because Caruso was a big part of some of the clutch stuff and all that. But like, you still would have made the play-in tournament. Brooklyn Nets finished 32-50. You weren't going to be that much worse. So, like, you still could have beaten the Atlanta Hawks in a play-in game. And you could have had some future assets for it. But now you kept him. You didn't do that. You'll still have him on the team next year for what reason, I don't know. So, like, brutal. Yeah, absolutely brutal stuff.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Jace. The most likely path for the Bulls this offseason, I'm just going to assume, is...
They're going to bring DeMar back. Yeah.
Selling us the Lonzo Ball return after he's missed, you know, 2.8 years with an injury that no one has been able to figure out. They're going to try to trade LaVine. I don't think they're going to find a taker. Why would they find a taker? And they're most likely going to do the same thing because they always do the same thing. Arturis is allergic to making a trade. He has absolutely no confidence in his own ability to make an evaluation on his roster or on somebody else's roster. And I'm expecting a totally garbage offseason. Jace, there's no reason to bring back DeRozan, in my opinion. I love DeRozan. He's been such a joy to watch on this team.
Outstanding. Like, he has been so much better than we honestly could have expected. He's outplayed the contract that many people thought was a joke that the Bulls gave to him. 3 years, 81 million, I think it was. And there was talk of him.
He was underpaid.
There was talk of him signing like an MLE deal. There was like those stories out there about him. Like, he was going to like a Clippers meeting, which I think they only could have offered him an MLE, and like the Bulls offered him this big deal, and he's like, oh, fuck this deal, I'm going to the Bulls. And he has outplayed that deal. Absolutely. The Bulls absolutely cannot give him his next big contract. Although he's earned it, you just can't block yourself into that when you already have Vooch locked in for two more years. And Vooch is a fucking joke. He stinks. I mean, come on now. Like, he still puts up numbers, but I mean, just watch the game today. He was awful. Like, Vooch puts up double doubles. That's what he does, but he's not good. He's just not good anymore. He's not efficient. He can't play defense. He's garbage. So, I mean, that's that. You can't re-sign DeMar to a big contract. Although, again, yeah, I think they will. He's earned the contract 100%. It's just the Bulls cannot be the team that gives it to him. Like, maybe if they re-sign him and they're able to trade him at like the deadline next year, but like, there's no point. Just rip the Band-Aid off. Go in the new direction. Don't re-sign. Can you find a sign and trade for DeMar DeRozan? I don't know. We'll probably have more to talk about, like, teams. I mean, the Clippers, maybe, if Paul George leaves. There have been rumors of Paul George leaving and going to the Sixers. I don't know if that'll actually happen, but if it did, the Clippers are a very obvious DeMar DeRozan option. But the bottom line is the Bulls just can't be the team that gives DeMar like 300, which is, again, what he'll probably be looking for. He's earned it. He's been so good, so much better than we could have expected. The Bulls just can't be that team that gives it to him. Like, Drew Holiday got 4-135 from the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics are the number one seed. They're historically good. Like, they can afford to maybe overpay an aging veteran who means a lot to their team that much because they want to keep an elite team together. The Bulls are not elite. They're extremely mediocre. They're going nowhere. You can't give that guy that much money. So, like, sign, if you can sign and trade him somewhere, if he walks, like obviously it'd be rough if he walks for nothing. That'd be tough because they should have traded him a year and a half ago, like you always said, because they were going nowhere. But I hope DeMar gets paid by somebody else.
Jace, an ESPN article published after this loss.
Yes,
by,
I wanted to bring this up.
Collier says, quote, Chicago will be monitoring for a star player who could become available in a trade, such as Atlanta's Trae Young.
Woof.
His contract is similar to Levine's. The Bulls will also keep an eye on Paul George and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, good luck, guys.
Trading for Trae Young, and I like Trae Young. That would just
I don't know if I like Trae Young.
The wrong move.
I don't know if I like Trae Young. He stinks. He doesn't stink. He's obviously very, very talented, very good, but just like, he's kind of a loser. I mean, just like watching that Bulls-Hawks game, he's a fucking loser. First, let's to that Hawks point, like, just the difference, the difference between the Heat and the Hawks and just like the competitive levels of that, I mean, just miles apart. Obviously, Eric Spoelstra deserves a ton of credit, but like, it's not like Quinn Snyder is a bad coach. That Hawks team is just garbage. They gave up. Trae Young's an embarrassing defensive player. He's very good, but he was also embarrassing offensively. And he's definitely like kind of after that Eastern Conference Finals run 3 years ago, he still puts up big numbers, but just like the winning player thing I know is we've had the conversation with Zach and like, I don't want to like totally pigeonhole like Trae Young as a loser, but like he looked like a fucking loser. And he did come back from an injury this year, but like he played like a loser against the Bulls the other night. I mean, it was so bad how embarrassing that effort was. And like, you can just see the difference of competitive level between the Hawks and the Heat tonight. So like, I think someone did bring that up after the game the other day, like, oh, like maybe the Bulls would just like swap who it was like Zach for Trae Young. Who says no? I feel like both teams, maybe. I don't know.
Jace, it would be so fitting for the Bulls to trade for Trae Young, give him some big contract, and for them to be locked into the 9 seed forever. Trae's a pretty good player. Put him with Wemby. Put him with, you know, some team that has more ambitious goals than whatever the Bulls
are. The Lakers, the Spurs.
Yeah.
Trae Young is like
not want Trae Young here.
Trae Young is the third best player next to, like, LeBron and AD for a year. Sure. Trae with Wemby makes sense because Wemby can absolutely erase Trae Young's miserable fucking defense and like giving Wemby an actual like guy who can pass the ball. Great idea. Sure. Why not? On this Bulls team, like trying to drag them out of mediocrity, he's basically dragged the Hawks to mediocrity outside of one fluke season. So yeah, I mean, that would be very Bulls though, because that would be like, we need to stay competitive. We need to keep, like, we can't take a step back. So we trade Zach for Trae Young to keep us in, like, a competitive spot where we're fighting for a play-in spot or maybe a lower-end Eastern Conference seed. Absolutely would be what that is.
The big key for the Bulls this offseason is to accumulate assets, not lose them. They have the 11th pick in this draft, most likely, unless it jumps up to the top four. You know, that's the biggest piece of this offseason. They need to draft a good player with that pick. They ideally need to draft their next star. And stars get drafted in that range around 11 all the time. It happens every few years. You get a star in that range. So the Bulls need to focus all of their energy on trying to figure out which of the players available at that pick will be a star. That is the most critical piece of the offseason. After that, you need to be trading the players on this team that sucks for future assets so that you can keep the pick that you already traded next year to the Spurs, top 10 protected for DeRozan. Absolutely critical. The Bulls keep that pick in a much stronger 2025 draft. Yeah, I've already got a sort of a first round mock in my head for 2025. That's going to come out in a couple months. But, you know, the Bulls need to be thinking about the future, not the present. They absolutely cannot go all out to try to get the 8 seed again. And if they do that, they're huge idiots. And Arturas just needs to be held accountable and needs to be fired. And I'm so worried that Arturas is going to inflict more long-term damage on this organization that is going to fully bury the 2020s for the Chicago Bulls. It's time for the Bulls to take their medicine and to get a shot at adding some truly high-end talent on this roster. Arturas is too dumb to do that. So he has to be fired. And I do think a different GM could succeed under the Reinsdorfs. Yes, it's probably going to be very difficult to win a championship, because to win a championship, you need serious investment from ownership. which will never happen with a Reinsdorf-owned team. But I do think you could actually have a sensible vision in a long-term view of the franchise and of the team with a different GM. That is not going to happen under Arturas because he's very stupid. And that's it, Jace. He's a dumb man.
I mean, I know you've loved calling him dumb for a while. I don't know if he's dumb. It's just like he's very stubborn and he seems
delusional.
Delusional, I think, is the right word. He just seems to have like a one-track mind of how to build a team. And that's just like you need to get like as good of players as possible, which like I'll go back and let's say that like the initial plan I didn't have a problem with. I think you could argue what they traded for Vooch was too much. You thought that from the very start. I did not necessarily say that, so like I was clearly wrong about that. And Vooch and AK doubled down on bringing Vooch back, which I said was idiotic at the time, and it clearly is idiotic now. The initial plan, I did not hate. Bringing in, like, Zach was at a point where, like, Zach was good, but they needed to do something to make the team better around Zach. You could argue they should have just traded Zach at that point when they were just, like, not going anywhere.
Of course.
And that probably would have been totally fine. And they would have, obviously, nothing really would have changed in terms of big-time success. But, like, if you... He got Zach on her team. He was kind of ascending into an all-star level player. He had to do something. You trade for Vooch. You add DeMar. You add Lonzo. You add AC. That initial thing was fine. I'm not going to like hate him on that. They were good. They were good that first season. 21-22, they were good for the first three quarters of that season. Obviously, everything that's happened since then has just been a joke because he's done nothing. Absolutely no, like, just no response to Lonzo being out for 2.5 years, thinking that continuity was the answer. I mean, how perfect is it? Like, that they fucking tout continuity all last offseason, and then they go out and win almost the same amount of games as they did last season, and then lose again to the Miami Heat in the final play-in game. I mean, that's what continuity is. It gets you the same exact fucking thing, and that's what happened. And that's why AK should be fired. So they need to pivot in a new direction. We are not confident that that's going to happen. Maybe this game will actually be a wake up call that something will happen, that something needs to change, because it's just been 2.5 years the same thing. All year, like as you said, like the players on the team, DeMar, Kobe, and like. Again, Kobe had a great season. Io improved a lot. Both guys had a rough game tonight. But like some of the individual guys on this team had really nice seasons. But as a whole, they just like they did not take a step forward. I know there were injuries. Every team has injuries. The Heat just beat the Bulls by 20 some points without their best player. Like injuries should not be an excuse. If we hear AK bring up injuries as an excuse at their post preseason at the post mortem, like just fuck you. The Miami Heat just beat you by 20 points without their best player in a do or die game. Like the injury excuse just doesn't matter at all at this point. So AK should be fired. He won't be. And he's just stubborn. He just thinks that the only way to build a team is, oh, we need to just, we can't take any steps back. We just need to be, we need to go on this. We need to be as good as possible. And even if that good isn't good enough. And that's just kind of what he said. I mean, he literally said at the trade deadline, he said that he did not want to take any steps back because this like fan base deserves a team that competes and competes for the playoffs. Unfortunately, they were not competitive at all tonight. So maybe that will, again, be a wake-up call for him that you just can't kind of roll with the status quo. But it should also be a wake-up call for ownership that this front office group should be fired. And we've been calling for it for a long time. We ended up being right. I would have loved to have been wrong. None of what is happening right now is hindsight. We've been saying this all year. Like this is kind of what the team was. They were mid. Obviously, I was very wrong with the Bulls winning tonight's game, but like they weren't all of a sudden just because they put up 131 points on the Atlanta Hawks the other day. Like didn't mean it meant nothing. Like they had a nice game against an embarrassing joke of a 10 seed. Like. And then they came out and embarrassed themselves against a team that's better coached, they have a better culture, and that's the bottom line. Even without their best player, again, it is so embarrassing that the Bulls lost this game by 20 points and were not competitive against a Miami team missing their best player. Again, Zach was out all year, whatever. The Bulls stunk with Zach. Like that, the group didn't work with Zach. They were better without Zach this season for the most part. I don't know if they necessarily are long-term if Zach came back healthy, but the bottom line is they come into this game against a Miami Heat team missing their best player and missing their big trade deadline acquisition, and they got fucking punked. That should be enough to be a wake-up call for this front office that should not be employed anymore.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Well said, Jace.
Yeah. I know I was rambling there. Did you mention the... In this ESPN article, the Paul George, Donovan Mitchell delusions that was brought up here, like the Bulls will keep a close eye on free agency situations such as Paul George or Donovan Mitchell. Like the Bulls are gonna fucking get Paul George or Donovan Mitchell. Like, are you kidding me? Absolutely not. Like, how are they gonna make that happen? Like, I guess you could say that maybe the Bulls could trade Zach for Donovan Mitchell for the Cavs to do that. I mean, they're not getting Paul George is a free agent. The Bulls have no way of getting Paul George, I guess, unless they did a DeMar for Paul George sign and trade. But like, are you like, no way, like Paul George wants to come to the Bulls. Like, are you kidding me? So that's just like, that's delusional stuff. That's just not going to happen. And if it does happen, I don't know how much it would actually change the trajectory. Like, I would take Donovan Mitchell on this team, but like, there's just, I don't see how that's realistic in any way.
Dude, I mean,
go get Cooper Flagg. They next season needs to be I was tweeting tonight some stuff. The Bulls need to focus next season on keeping that pick, that top 10 pick, tank for Cooper Flagg for a year. I suggested a Warriors trade. The Warriors obviously very desperate. So they lost in the play-in. They got embarrassed, probably even worse than the Bulls did in the 9-10 game, considering they have Steph Curry on their team. I suggested, and we kind of brought this stuff up at the trade deadline. I mean, trade them Zach and Caruso. They have big contracts that they want to get off. Andrew Wiggins is garbage. He's got like 3 years left on his deal. I would take Andrew Wiggins to tank for a year for next season. Maybe he can rehab his value. Chris Paul has, I believe, could like have like a 1 year, $30 million deal. The Warriors have some big contracts that they could use if they wanted to trade for Zach. Alex, we could revisit the Alex Caruso thing. I basically suggested Zach and Caruso for Andrew Wiggins, Chris Paul, and then draft capital, maybe one or two of their young guys, something like that. If they are desperate enough to keep it together for Steph, to try to compete with Steph Curry for another couple of years before he retires, they badly need another shot creator. That could be Zach. Alex Caruso, I think, would be great in Steve Kerr's system as a smart player, elite defender. And they have the contracts to make it work. I think the Bulls and Warriors need to make a trade this offseason. You could throw Vooch in there as an option, too. If they wanted DeRozan, maybe even work that in. I don't know if they can get DeRozan in a sign-in trade because there's salary cap rules and all that in like the second apron. But like, I think the Bulls and Warriors could absolutely be trade partners this offseason, with the Bulls pivoting towards the future and the Warriors, if they want to try to keep competing with Steph Curry, you can get some guys that will help. Zach, if Zach comes back healthy, he absolutely would help the Warriors. Alex Caruso would absolutely help the Warriors. At least, I don't know if they win another title, obviously, but like, they could absolutely be a better team with Steph Curry for the last couple of years. How do you feel about that?
Need to make a big move, so I like that. The Warriors, to me, could be a team maybe desperate enough to go for Zach. It's hard to imagine anyone's going to go for Zach, though, because, you know, by all reports, the Bulls were ready and willing to trade him during this season. Then he gets injured, and the injury sort of threw a wrench into everything. But, I mean, he got injured again, I should say. Like, he came back, got injured again. So it's tough. I think, like, what would a successful offseason for the Bulls be? It would be prioritizing the future over the present. And if they can do that, I would be, you know, mildly satisfied. But I just don't think Arturas is equipped to do it. I don't think he has any vision. I think that he runs headfirst into a brick wall, gets a concussion, gets back up, and runs headfirst into a brick wall once again. And I think I said that the, you know, the hamster running on the wheel powers Arturas' brain has torn his ACL and is out for a year. And I just don't really see any way the franchise moves forward into a better position with Arturas as the GM. Because we just have this, like, pretty long history now that, like, this guy won't fucking do anything. So I'm feeling pretty defeatist about the Bulls. I do think, like, they're just going to be in for some natural regression next year quite a bit.
Yeah.
Because this clutch stuff, man. Thing is going to totally reverse next year, most likely. I mean, DeRozan does have a special skill in the clutch. But, like, look at the season before this one. They were slightly below average in the clutch. So they are due for...
A lot of the clutch luck was both DeMar, but their defense was also, like, insanely elite.
Three-point defense.
Yeah, like,
teams
that kind of stuff.
Three against the Bulls in
the
clutch.
You can't rely on, like, that happening. And they have a lot of open threes in the clutch, and the teams just miss them. Teams is melting out. So, like, DeMar can get his... Like, their offense being, like, a good clutch offense, like, I think is something that can kind of... travel year to year. Although, like, DeMar is going to be 35. Like, there's going to be a point where DeMar just
can't do it in minutes, Jason.
There's going to be a point where he just can't do that anymore. And, like, if he takes any step back, and then if their, like, clutch defense just doesn't get that kind of luck, I'm not going to call it all luck, but, like, some of it is luck. Like, imagine if the Bulls went 20, I think it was, like, 27 and 17 clutch games this year. If they would have went 24 and 20. That's a three game difference. Like, they would have finished the year 36 and 46. Like, basically the same record as a terrible Hawks team. Like, that is not good. Like, that is absolutely, that is bad. They were the 20th best team this season, which is bottom third. I mean, that's just not good. Like, they're not going anywhere with
Jace,
the core that they
have. That was with all these teams below them choosing not to compete for the play-in tournament because they realized it's a fool's errand. Nobody is dumb enough to get suckered into thinking the play-in tournament is a ticket to success other than Arturas Karnišovas. The Nets were like, eh, you know, we don't care. All these teams were just like, whatever. We're not trying to compete for that. We are trying to build towards a brighter future.
If you look at, like, the team net ratings, like, it basically kind of drops off after, like, 21 or 22. Because those bottom 7-8 teams were awful all season. We're trying to lose. The Bulls were like... Besides, like, the Hawks were worse. The Nets, I think the Nets were, like, kind of trying to win. Once you, like, get past the Nets, those, like, bottom 7-8 teams were not trying to win. So it was, like, the Nets, the Hawks, and then the Bulls. The Bulls were, like, the third best or the third worst team, I think, out of, like, all the teams trying to win games this season. So, like, beating the Hawks means nothing. And it kind of showed up tonight. They got their ass beat. In a do or die game to get the 8 seed. Obviously, if they somehow would have won the night, that the Celtics would have embarrassed them. They got embarrassed even worse by a Heat team missing their best player and their key trade deadline acquisition. Just, it's the bottom line. The Bulls aren't going anywhere with the group they have, and they need to pivot. But we don't think they will, because we think AK thinks, like, what they did, they filled the United Center every night. They gave them some big wins, some exciting wins. They got a big play-in win. Kobe White had a career game in this play-in game. So they got to prove it to us. If AK doesn't get fired, because we think he should be fired, they probably will not fire him. If AK is the lead decision maker on this team this offseason, he needs to prove it to us that he's not a fucking idiot, and that he's not delusional, and that... If he wants to actually go on a winning path and keep this team together, for the most part, I mean, you got to go out and make a bold move. You got to, whatever, trade Zach, and you got to get something real back. You got to trade Lonzo Ball's contract. I mean, if they try to sell us on a Lonzo Ball comeback, I mean, that's just insulting. Come on. Like, love Lonzo Ball and what he was for this team. You're telling me a guy who's been out for 2.5 years is going to come back and, like, be a difference maker? Like, get the fuck out of here. He's got a $20 million contract. If you can use him to maybe get a good player in here, you package him, and you want to, whatever, double down on DeMar, whatever the fuck you want to do. You're like, if you're going to keep this core together for the most part, you got to at least try to move forward and not just like run it back. That's been the biggest problem. Like, he believes in this. He's believed in this core, or allegedly said he has, but he hasn't done anything to make them better either. He literally just hasn't gone in either direction. There's been no vision, no direction either way. It's just been, we're keeping this mediocre team together. Like, that's all he's done, which is why he should be fired. But if they're in coming in this offseason, you just need to pick a direction.
Picking a direction and trying to save this team.
I mean, they shouldn't do that. But if they
is beyond saving, roads lead to Trae Young. At that point, you're trading a 27 and 29 first round pick to get Trae Young, and that's a disaster. So no, don't dig yourself a deeper hole. You need to go the other way. You need to prioritize the future, not the present. This team can be saved.
I agree. I obviously agree, but if they're going to keep him around, and if this is what he really believes, at least try something to go all in. So it's got to be one or the other. You can't just keep the same thing going. So try something. You need to either totally blow it up or mostly blow it up. Tank to keep this pick. I mean, I guess if they did just keep it together, they might keep the pick anyways, because they just would have the regression due. But you can't sell that to the fan base. You can't do it. So, like, again, either make some moves, pivot to the younger team, keep the pick, try to get in the Cooper flag sweepstakes, or you do something to try to make the team better. You got to pick one. Again, you got to do one of the two. Trying to make the team better, the team is not salvageable. The score is not salvageable. But if that's what you really want to do, you got to go all in. And again, that would hopefully actually take a step towards him actually being fired. Because again, he's probably not going to be fired now. But yeah, that's the bottom line.
You're saying this, Jason. If they do that, we can punt the rest of the 2020s and the 2030s will already be compromised.
I agree.
So this seems beyond saving. Just lose. Try to get in the Cooper flag race. I totally agree.
And I'm not a tank guy.
But picks that are not in this draft, because this draft kind of stinks. So, you know, I would take a pick in this draft if you're getting it like for free. If you're just paying money to get a pick, I would love to do that. Otherwise, trade your guys. Trade Caruso for a 25.
I mean, they could theoretically turn over almost this entire roster. I would keep Kobe, obviously. I'd keep Io. Literally, almost everybody else on this team should be expendable. Like, if you want to keep Julian Phillips, like, you're probably not going to get anything for Dale and Terry. But I mean, if you could, like, Dale and Terry was getting big minutes. I mean, he didn't do shit. I mean, he's bad. He took a step forward a little bit this year, but he's still bad. Like, Vooch needs to go. DeMar should go. I mean, God bless Javonte Green. You could bring Javonte Green back for a little fun, I guess. He's not going to like be a difference maker. You got to trade Caruso when he's got some value. Like, they should turn over almost this entire roster this offseason. Pivot towards a younger core. You could bring in some new veterans, some cheap veterans. Obviously, I don't want to like do like a full tank job, because I think that is, there are pitfalls there where if you just say get into like a real losing culture, like that can be bad. Like, I don't want to just be like as bad as possible, because you can do that and then you just can't get out of it unless you get really lucky. And like, you could do that and then not get a really good player in the draft and you're just suck for a long time. And the Bulls have sucked for a long time. So like, I want to see Kobe White just kind of be the team leader next year. Io too, like I'd be totally fine with Kobe and Io being the starting backcourt next year. Okay, bring in some new veterans. Maybe you can find a young big man that can be your starting center, and just totally turn this team over. Play for the draft next year, and see where it goes. Keep that pick and see where it goes. And this is me as not a tanking guy. Like, I think you're in a situation where you just need to kind of go that direction with how their draft pick situation is set up, kind of how their veterans are set up. Like, DeMar as a free agent, this gives you an off ramp. Maybe get a sign and trade. Vooch, I don't know if you're going to be able to trade Vooch, but like, try to, Vooch, I just hate watching Vooch play. He just annoys the shit out of me. Get him out of here. I think that's about it, Ricky. Do we have anything else to say? Probably not, right? We've been rambling for a while here and ranting, but Ricky, do you have anything else? Do you have a final statement here about this organization and where they're at right now?
I guess the one thing I'll say is that I did really appreciate a lot of the players on the team this year. I thought Kobe had a great year. Io making 40% of his threes this year was pretty incredible. Drummond sparked joy, which is very tough to do on this pathetic Bulls team. And DeRozan just incredible. And then Caruso, obviously incredible as well. So those five guys made doing a Bulls podcast, which is generally like sort of a huge waste of time, as is watching the Bulls, as is caring about the Bulls. Those guys made it a little bit worthwhile, and they represented the city well. They represented the franchise well. So I would like to give them a tip of the cap for, not rolling over when they were 5-14, when LaVine was out, when LaVine requested a trade. It could have been, a totally lost season. And instead, they got to the play-in, and I guess that's something, but it's not really much. But those guys busted their ass. I did think they did. Team played hard all year.
Yes, the Bulls did not
give
up.
They didn't fail to make the playoffs because they didn't play hard.
Yeah, 100%.
And they didn't really have many performances this year that brought us great shame. There were a couple, but that's going to happen over the course of an 82-game season. In general, I thought that, they played pretty organized, disciplined ball. They just weren't good enough. The roster stinks. That's Arturas' fault. In terms of Billy, I don't really care. I don't think he moves the needle that much. They can keep him if they want to. They can fire him. I just don't care.
I mean, if they do go in a new direction, I don't think Billy wants to be a part of it. I think just let it move on. Go hire a nice, cheap, young and up and coming assistant coach to bring a new team into the future, I think is probably the way to go here. And then, again, I've said this before, ownership should love that. You don't have to pay big money for a coach that's going to try to win. Just go find a young, hungry, up and coming assistant and to kind of take your young players into the future.
Yeah. Just who cares? This is kind of my closing statement on the Bulls. They have really beaten down the fan base with apathy. And the fan base went crazy towards the end of the year supporting the team. It's because Chicago is a great sports city. It's the best sports city in America. It's an incredible basketball city. The Bulls have the luxury of having this entire city to themselves. We probably need a second team if the Reinsdorfs aren't going to sell. And everything sucks. The Bulls are bad. And let's just prioritize the future. So,
yeah. That's what they should do, 100%. The play-in crowd was great. You could see Bulls fans starving for actual basketball that matters. That game didn't really matter. And Bulls fans are all over it. We would love to see some real, actual, meaningful basketball here in Chicago. We will obviously just get behind it and we're ready for it. It's been a long time since the last meaningful Bulls game was probably 2017 when they were up 2-0 against the Celtics and they lost four straight games. But it's been a while. So but this ownership group sucks. This front office sucks. Fire them all. Sell the team. That's the bottom. I mean, a perfect night for Jerry Reinsdorf. Not perfect, but just hilarious night for Jerry Reinsdorf's own teams. The White Sox almost got no hit by the Philadelphia Phillies. They got shut out for the sixth or seventh time already in 18 games this year. I think they're 3-15 or 3-16. They're the joke of Major League Baseball. The Bulls made an ass of themselves tonight. What are you doing, Jerry Reinsdorf? Go sell your fucking teams. Get out of ownership, please. To someone who actually cares about stewarding these franchises, but that's where we're at, and that's about it. I think that's gonna wrap it up here for us on this episode of Cash Consideration Chicago Bulls podcast. I guess the good news here, Ricky, is you're going on your bachelor party next weekend, and you won't have to worry about the Bulls getting their ass beat by the Boston Celtics. I wish I could make it. I unfortunately cannot. My wife's birthday is next weekend. We have an infant. We'll not be able to make it out to Ricky's bachelor party, but I hope he has a great time. And you won't have to worry about the Bulls. So that's fucking awesome. So that's
what a silly thing to bring up at the end of the podcast, Jason. No one cares about that. But yes, I got some life events going on this year. Jace, you're a father. So,
The Bulls suck. We are making strides in life. We're making strides in life. You're getting married. I had a kid. We're doing good here. We just do this podcast to complain about Chicago Bulls basketball and if they actually are. We would love, again, we've been doing this pod now for basically since the Boylan years, and we've had like 50 games of like times where we've actually enjoyed ourselves. We would love to enjoy ourselves doing this podcast more, but unfortunately it has not been the case. Luckily, again, our lives have we've done some good things in our personal lives, so at least we got that going for us. So that is going to do it for us here on this episode, this season-ending episode of Cash Considerations, a Chicago Bulls podcast. Again, the Bulls lose 112-91 to the Miami Heat in the play-in game. Their season is over. Miami Heat is going on to play the Boston Celtics. The Bulls are going home. They should fire Arturs Karnišovas tomorrow. And that's it. Shout out to the Blue Wire Network, as always. I was on, again, my guy Giancarlo Navas's Miami Heat Beat pod. Go check out his pod as they go and play Boston in the next round. They are part of the Blue Wire Network as well. Ton of other great pods all across the network. For us, please rate and review us. Give us those 5-star ratings. Or if you hate us ripping on the Bulls all the time, even though it's deserved, give us less ratings. Give us feedback. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those other good places you can find podcasts. You can follow me at Bulls_J on Twitter. Ricky is at SBN_Ricky. We got some great fire tweets tonight. If you want to interact with us, we are always down to interact with Bulls fans and talk about the future. Moves they should make, firing Arturs Karnišovas. Again, we want to make that very clear that should happen. Make that happen. Go follow Ricky's work at SBNation.com. Please also check out ClutchPoints.com as well. So this is the last Cash Considerations of the season. We will definitely be taking next week off. Again, Ricky's going on his bachelor party. We have no reason to talk about the Bulls next week. Enjoy the NBA playoffs, everybody. The Bulls are not part of it. Probably, thank God. And that's that. We'll talk to you guys next time, sometime in the next couple weeks. Take it easy, everybody. Have a great weekend.